And we're back. It is late August, and the Cape season has been over for a couple of weeks, but we are still podcasting. Back with another episode. I got a really special guest today from the Cape League champion Born Braves. This was a Cape League All-Star, a guy who was here all summer, and then he capped it all off, cherry on top of his outstanding summer. With a Cape League championship and Cape League playoff MVP honors, John Corleone Legrande from New York, St. John's University in Queens, originally from the Bronx, not too far from Yankee Stadium. So really excited to have him on, kind of pick his brain a little bit, get a little pulse on how he felt his summer went, obviously from a high level view. I don't think it could have gone any better, but would love to kind of get in the weeds a little bit with him, his experience. Obviously the Cape is much different than the concrete jungle, so would love to get his perspective on his Cape experience. So let's not waste any more time. Let's get into it. Let's get John in here and let's chat about his 2025 Cape League season. Welcoming in now, the guy with all the accolades, all-star, playoff MVP, Cape League champion, John Corleone Legrande Jr. What a name. Hey, John, welcome. First, for before we get out, I was trying to jump the gun there, but welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Sir, thanks, man. I appreciate you for having me.
Yeah, I saw the middle name Corleone and I got excited. I was like, man, that's fire. What's
My
the
dad's a
backstory on
big
the middle name?
yeah I gotcha My dad's a big Godfather fan, and I don't know, he somehow convinced my mom to put that in my birth certificate, and here we are. Here we are with the middle name now.
That's like, hey, you got an 80 grade name. Just so you know. Put that on the scouting
Appreciate that.
report. Yeah, but you're from New York. All right, so a little background here for the people listening. So we've been talking about John Legrande all summer on the podcast, between like sustained performance and then your all-star nod. Obviously born doing it again, winning the Cape League championship. You were at the middle of that. You hit, you played outstanding defense, you won the Cape League playoff MVP. We talked about you in our last episode when we were talking about, I had Jeff Ponce from Baseball America on. He was talking about some of his favorite players that he saw on the Cape this summer. Your name came up. But before we get into anything Cape related, really excited to talk with you because you're from New York. George Washington High School, for people who don't know, same high school as Manny Ramirez, not too far from Yankee Stadium. And now you are at St. John's, which is in Queens. So you're a New York guy through and through. Godfather middle name. Took a little pit stop at Wabash Valley.
Wabash Valley for 2 years.
Junior college route. So always love a JUCO guy who kind of grinded his way to a D1 school and then up to the Cape. But yeah, kind of a lot to unpack. Let me just say, I was in Queens this past weekend, and it was kind of like my first time. So I'm from Massachusetts. I've been to New York City, but when I was growing up, we go to New York City like around the holidays, and we go to do the holiday thing, right? Not get too far into that, but went to the old Yankee Stadium once back before they built the new one, obviously, and that was quite the experience, but. Really like had my first opportunity to like ride the subways and kind of like experience getting around the city this past weekend. And dude, that place is it's like it really is a concrete jungle. It's crazy.
Literally, like, the
What
place is
was it like
unreal.
growing up there? Like,
Man, I mean, I can go on and on for days about it, but literally, like, it's not, like you said, it's actual concrete jungle, wild wild west. It's another word I can put it. Like, it's super fast paced. it's literally the city that never sleeps. Like it just keeps on going, keeps on going. It's always loud. And yeah, like it's just always I'm sorry, my bad. No, but it's always like I can't even explain. It's just always fast paced. But yeah.
All right, let's get like a little bit more concentrated here and talk food, because like being from New York City, you have access to like literally the world's cuisine. Like there's good food everywhere, and like there's no like limiting price point. Like you can go get good food for like $5-$10 on the corner somewhere. You know what I'm saying? So like,
yeah.
What are some of your favorite things that you remember from growing up eating in New York? Like, what are some of your favorite foods, having access to all that?
Number one for sure, pizza. Like, let me get old pizza. And second one, I would say, I used to get this every morning before I went to high school. It was a bagel with cream cheese and bacon from like a corner store. Like a literal bagel with cream cheese, and just put two pieces of bacon, and I'll just get my day going from there.
So I had never seen that before this past weekend, and I saw a spot that had that cream cheese with the bacon on it. I'm like,
yeah,
what is going on here?
You gotta try it. It's so good. Like I didn't think anything of it. I was like, no, let me get some carbs in me before I head into school, and then it was actually really good. I just never looked back from there. Like even time to time, I'll make one at home.
It actually makes a lot more sense when you think about it. It's just not something that's mainstream. I will say that it's less off the wall than I had a bacon, egg, and cheese on a chocolate chip bagel the other day.
Okay.
That's a little bit, my wife was looking at it funny. but it was good. I recommend it for anybody who's into sweet and savory at the same time.
You can't knock it until you try it.
You can't knock until you try it. So do you have a favorite pizza spot in New York?
No, like I wish I had like a spot I can go to every time where I can say, all right, this is the spot where you can get some really good pizza, but I don't. But like literally, like it's hard. I mean, it's hard to really like mess up a good pizza, especially in New York. I don't know. Like every spot I went to, like it's always really good. So like I can't even complain.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was walking around Manhattan, like West Village on Saturday, and it's just like you're walking on the sidewalks and there's all these long lines. We're going up Bleecker Street. It's like for John's Bleecker Street. It's where I think like Lindy Street has a spot up there now. It's crazy. But you're right, like you really can't, you fall out of a boat and hit good pizza up there. There's a spot that's not too far from you. It's over kind of by Forest Hills. Do you like Peruvian?
Yes. Yeah. I like Peruvian. Yeah.
It's what I call the Amar Peruvian. I'll text it to you after. I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
I'm like a food guy. That's what I do. Is that when I go travel, I make sure that I eat good.
you got to, it's only right.
Yeah. All right. So talk to me a little bit about, the experience at George Washington High School and then how you ended up going the JUCO route. Let's start there. Actually, let's back it up a little bit. Did you grow up a Yankees fan?
Oh yeah, diehard Yankees fan.
Who was your favorite player growing up?
I gotta say two actually. It was of course Trout and Cano. Those are the two. Those were the two growing up. But yeah, I love Cano. Even though he was a second baseman, he just had that sweet lefty sway.
I'm with you. So I grew up a Red Sox fan. And I'll go to my grave saying that Cano has the sweetest swing that I've ever seen. And everything he does, or everything he did, was effortless. Like, he looked like he was yawning when he was fielding a ground ball. And it was just like...
Yeah.
Every time.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just made it look easy.
Yeah, I figured, you know, growing up in the Bronx, being a Yankees fan, you'd be a guy that watched baseball. I think that's something that like a lot of current players, and you can probably attest to this, you know, being that you're around a lot of current players, whether it's on the Cape, your college locker room, a lot of guys just don't watch the game. And you know, anyway, that's my old head take now as I get on the other side of 30, but
I agree.
Yeah, there's still something about, like, you go into New York and it's like people are actually, like, whether you're, you know, a Yankees fan or whether you're a Mets fan, like, people actually follow the team and they actually watch the games, which is cool. Okay, so yeah, let's get into George Washington High School. Talk about George Washington High School, but talk about playing the game in the summer. You know, did you play on travel teams? You know, what was that experience like, and then how you ended up at Wabash?
So George Washington, my experience there was pretty different. Going into high school ball, my freshman year, it was like the team was really good. You know, a bunch of Dominicans. So I just wasn't sure if I was gonna even like crack the starting nine. So I had to prove myself. I had to show them. I remember second game of the season, I started and I didn't get out the lineup since. And yeah, I've just been working. Like, I've worked throughout all those 4 years, and, you know, get to, I would say, we'll go Wabash Valley. But yeah, so I got the Wabash Valley. So Wabash Valley, they first recruited me in Jupiter, actually, when I was playing for the Bronx Bombers travel ball team. And what was it? I had a ground rule double, and that's all it took for them to give me an offer. And yeah, I just, like, they offered me after the game, and I just took it. I took it. Like, it was my only offer throughout high school, and it was a good one. I loved my 2 years at Wabash Valley. It was amazing. Like, I built so much character. I truly learned how to be by myself and not dependent on my my parents, it taught me grit. Like, I it's like junior college is like not for everyone. Like, that's why I think, like, there's no gray area. You're either gonna really love it or you're just gonna really hate it. So luckily it turned out for me that I really loved it, and yeah, that's how I got to St. John's. But yeah,
okay, a couple things to unpack there. Guy grew up in the Bronx, just said that junior college baseball taught him grit.
it really tested my grit. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, I was gonna say, was it like a little bit of a downshift, you know, leaving the city and like slower pace of life, and like maybe you can sleep without hearing sirens and, you know, the noise of the city? I mean, it had to have been culture shock.
That was a little different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a big culture shock. What was it? I actually preferred the Midwest lifestyle. Like, I almost didn't go to St. John's because I just was over that kind of being around that kind of environment, going somewhere else before I finally chose here. But yeah, like, it truly taught me how to slow my heart rate down, take my deep breaths, be less, I would say, be less upset, especially about the little things, you know, just flush and go. Like, everything I've learned, like, mentally and for the mental game, like, I've got that from Wabash Valley. I've been using it ever since. I feel like that's why I've been, I would say that's what led me to my recent success. So yeah, we'll go with that.
All right. So let's talk about St. John's. So you only had, I mean, thank goodness that you hit that ground rule double in Jupiter. So you get one offer and then you took it. Also, good on you for taking it, because a lot of guys would be like, oh, if my only option is junior college, I think I'm good, I'll just go do something else. So you got to Wabash. You were there for a couple of years. Like, what were your offers like coming out of there? And then you said you almost went somewhere else. You don't have to name other schools, but like, what was the level of interest coming out of there? How did you end up at St. John's?
So the level of interest I had, it really started coming my second year in at Wabash Valley. So say around 30 schools had interest. The ones that offered, about half of them offered. And I narrowed it down to three schools, which was App State, SLU, and St. John's. And the reason why I chose St. John's was because of the hitting coach. I already knew the hitting coach, Johnny Valenti. He when he was in the Tigers organization, and we used to hit with the same hitting coach over the off season. So once he called me, because this it came out of nowhere. I was already talking to SLU and App State. He calls me out of nowhere, and he tries to sell this pitch, but like he we already knew each other, so like he didn't really have to do it like that. He just told it to me straight. A few more calls after that, I talked to my dad, and he was on board. So I told him I was on board. If I was on board, then he was on board. So after that, I just made my final decision, and I said, "Yeah, come on, let's be a Johnny."
Let's go. All right. So you're back at St. John's. I want to talk a little bit about what you knew about the Cape growing up. Like, did you know anything about the Cape growing up? Did you know anything about the Cape going into this past summer? Like, what was your, I guess, like, mental image history? Had you ever been there before? Obviously, not too far geographically from where you grew up.
I've always wanted to play in the Cape, like since I was in high school. Like I've heard about it. The one who introduced it to me was like my teammate back in high school, telling me all the dogs go and play there over the summer, like the best of the best in NCAA in college. So once I was doing my research, I was looking at these big names and stuff like that, like Dylan Cruz. I can't even name off the top of my head, but yeah, that's one name that really stands out to me. Like I finally got the opportunity, and I literally ran with it. Like I knew this was a huge one, and I just couldn't mess it up. And yeah, I just let the game talk. I didn't even think. I just played. That's all it was.
Yeah, it really is pretty impressive when you look at like the list of guys who played on the Cape. It's mostly any college player that's been drafted. I mean, there's a handful that don't, but especially on the position player side, it's hard to find one that didn't. So, yeah, Dylan Cruz and many, many more.
I don't even know off the top of my head. It was way too many. I was literally in awe just like going through the list.
We got to give Dylan Cruz a shout out though. He needs some love today. All right, tell me a little bit about your Cape experience. Favorite places on the Cape, activities, food. How was your host family? Kind of break down all of that for me.
The activities, I pretty much went fishing every day. I'm not gonna lie. Love that. I didn't really do much activities other than fishing. Like I've got obsessed with it, and I've literally did it almost every day. We'll go to the beach. We'll go to the beach, just chill, hang out time to time. What was it? And li literally, that's it. Like, I found one hobby and I just stuck with it. Wanted to fish every day.
All right, so favorite things to eat. Was there anything that you tried for the first time this summer that you hadn't previously had?
I've had lobster before, but I never had a lobster roll. Like, the lobster roll I had over there was unreal. And like I literally TV'd in it. Like it was insane. Like it was like with hot butter on the side and also with a side of fries, and that was like top tier to me. Like I was like, wow, this is probably the best thing I had in a while. But yeah.
That's what kept you on the Cape wire to wire was the lobster rolls.
And Great Gables as well. It was like a food market. I literally buy Black Diamond steak cheese. It was literally just steak and cheese, but like it was the way they made it. I don't know. I had that almost before every game.
All right, so let's talk baseball a little bit. You guys won the Cape League Championship. How were the playoffs different than the regular season? You were there for the entire thing. And then kind of how were the playoff environments?
I mean, once the playoffs hit, like I don't know, it's something switched in me, like mentally. Like the last 2 weeks, I've said this before, the last 2 weeks of the regular season, I was really cold. And then like it was to the point my dad like contacted me and like he lit a fire at me and he told me I gotta figure it out, I gotta wake up. So I looked myself in the mirror. I was like, all right, I gotta lock in. Like this is playoffs. I wanna win a chip. I made it this far to not win something. So made a few adjustments. Fixed my sights, changed my approach to literally away. Like, I even think about middle in, just away. That was the approach. And I felt like my normal self again. Like I just felt super comfortable in the box. Like everything was just looking slow. And yeah, like the game just felt easy for those last what was it, 8 games in the playoffs? But yeah, it was crazy. It was unreal.
What was the environment like, fan wise, energy wise, around the ballpark during the playoffs versus the regular season? Was it any different or mostly the same?
Yeah, definitely. So the playoffs are just, I felt like a lot. There was a lot more passion coming from the fans. Like there was a lot, but like usually like you wouldn't hear much from the fans, even if there was a lot of people. But like since it was the playoffs, like it was a lot of people and like they were showing passion and it was getting loud, and it shows that they're very into the game. There were some really close games that we played. We almost could have
Yeah,
got
except
like
for the last one.
eliminated.
The last one wasn't close.
Yeah. Oh, also July 4th week. July 4th week. That was that was some game right there.
Hey, let me ask you, did you have to go over the fence when you made that catch?
I didn't like what was it? I caught it over the head, and then like my momentum just like went straight to the fence. I could have like come back. I could have came back in the field, but I was like, you know what? I'm just tip over. Like I don't know what in my right mind made me do that. I was like, all right, let's just tip over the fence. And I got so much like I was getting clowned by my team. Thanks. I mean, I deserved it. It was a very clownish moment right there for me, but it was funny looking back at the replay. So,
Hey, that's a summer ball moment. That's having fun with it, you know?
yeah, exactly. Staying loose.
Staying loose, just staying loose. All right. Tell me what you would tell to a player who is about to sign a Cape contract for next summer about your experience, about the experience of the Cape, about what you took away from it.
If you have a 10 or a full, it doesn't matter. Just stick to the course. Literally, like, just don't think. Have that same mindset that got you there in the first place. Do not switch anything up. and literally just be free, just play your game. At the end of the day, it's summer ball. Yeah, there's a lot of scouts, but you know, just remember why. Just remember what how you got in that position. And that's what I did. I literally didn't think about who was there watching. And I literally all I did, I would say, take my deep breath and just don't think. That's literally what I did. And to the other kids that are trying to go or about to go, just play your game. Honestly, have fun. That's the biggest thing. Just have fun. But if you're worrying about other things, then you're just gonna start overthinking, and it's not even gonna be about baseball at that point. You're gonna be worrying about other things, and that's not good.
Yeah, you can't be worrying about other things. You got to be worrying about making an all-star team. And well, not if you're having fun, then you're gonna make the all-star team. If you're having fun, then you're gonna win the Cape League championship, and you're gonna flip over the fence and laugh it off. That's it. Yeah, I want you to. So you were there all summer. You saw a lot of different players come in and out. Give me a couple of the best players that you played with or against from the summer.
Two hitters. One I played against him, Mike Anute. Unreal talent, great player, cool person. I was talking to him in the All-Star game. We were on the same team in the West. Great guy. And the second one is Coelho Aloy. That kid is something special. Like, I never seen such raw power. Well, no, actually, I'm gonna stick to that. I never seen somebody with such raw power. Like, he literally can swing it. And it's like I'm on my feet every time. Like, I watch him swing, like BP and game. And it's just like he always amazes me. So yeah, those are the two hitters that really caught my eye in the game.
And were there any pictures that you don't want to see again?
You know what's funny? I don't even remember not one pitcher. Like if I remember the pitcher, this is how I see it. If I remember the pitcher, then he probably gives me nightmares. I'm gonna be honest. Like, this is what I'll do. I'll literally look at the scouting report. I don't even care about the name. I'll see what pitches he has. I'm like, all right, let's do it. Like, I try to think as less as possible. I don't even know the pitchers' names. Like, that's how crazy it is. But that's probably why I did, pretty well in the Cape. Like, I just didn't care. I just stuck to my approach, and I just played. I just played free. But pitch.
I actually love that.
Yeah.
I haven't heard someone say that before. You're just like, oh yeah, they're all nameless. Show up, like, what do they throw? All
Yeah.
right, let's get
I don't even care about the name. Yeah,
it.
exactly. That's all I did. I'll be like, oh no, I'll just look at the scouting report on the dugout, see his pitches. I'll sometimes look at the IVB if he's a vert ball guy. All right, we gotta be a little mindful of that, or heavy sink. But other than that, I don't care. I trust my approach. And we're gonna go by, good or bad. It's what got me there, so we're gonna roll with that. But the pitchers though, that were on my team, that were amazing. Jonathan Stevens, and what's one more? Oh yeah, Zane Pettit. Those are the two. They were some dogs. They were lights out until they got drafted this summer. So yeah.
Yeah, and then you guys brought it home for those guys. Folger Boas pitched pretty well in his last game as well.
Oh yeah.
It's tough to get pitchers to hang around all summer.
I mean, I don't know. I guess pitch count, for
Yeah.
injury prevention. I truly don't know.
It's kind of state of the game type stuff. But hey, tell me your favorite and least favorite places to play on the Cape, and then your favorite uniforms that weren't yours.
My favorite place. I'm gonna have to go with that's a good one. Jeez. I mean, we gotta go with Dorn Park, you know, even though it's a graveyard, like, you know, the home field. Like, I gotta go with that, the favorite. Dorn and YD, we'll go with YD as well. Like, yeah, we'll take off the home field, YD. I really like YD. You know, the plate's nice, the dirt's nice, and you know, like, I don't have 70 great pops, so I would hope to like hit one over the fence, but that never happened. But the worst field, most definitely Falmouth, just because of the grass. It was too choppy. Just didn't like it. Grass was a little high as well. And in Orleans, I couldn't see. No matter what, I couldn't see the ball. It was hard, especially when the nighttime hit. It was
It's those like those lower soccer lights that they've got there.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like even the daytime,
all gets above like, those lights, you can't see anything.
Yeah, like it's like even the daytime as well. Like I never understood it. I'll think, all right, cool. Like, I'll start. You know, I'll like try to get my hits before the lights hit, and then I just still wouldn't see the ball. It was super bright. But yeah. Sick atmosphere, though. It was a sick atmosphere, Orleans.
Yeah, Orleans is nice with the hill. And like something that I love about the Cape ballparks is that the dimensions are always just like, it's not just like you're playing on like a generic dimension baseball field. So like in Orleans, it's like to get one out to center is like 430 or something like that. It's
kind of like polo grounds.
Yeah, a little bit. They should bring that back. We need a polo grounds game. Last thing is I've already taken over half hour of your life today. So,
oh, you're fine.
I want you to tell me, what you learned this summer as a baseball player that you're going to take with you moving forward.
What I've learned was it's okay to go 0-for-4. Literally, like there's days that's gonna happen, like, just like if you go 0-for-4, like that doesn't mean like you did something off with your swing. It could be, but like, you know, like you're probably unlucky. You probably had a few ground outs, few line outs, you know. Yeah, like I'll leave that in the past and just move on to the next game. My biggest takeaway was making quick adjustments. That's what it was. Like I thought I was able to make quick adjustments before I got here, but it really put it to the test, I'll say, because I faced better competition and it was long games. Like that's another thing. Like it's really going to test your mental toughness, because obviously the physical part of it, like you're eventually going to start wearing and tearing. That's when the mental really has to lock in. So I would say like I had to really lock in mentally and just keep the same mentality. I can't give, I can't fold. I gotta finish. That's what I kept telling myself. You gotta finish.
It's a good microdose, because, and I had this conversation with, I think it was Antonio Morales, and we were talking about like his biggest takeaway from the summer was that like he played every day for the first time in his life. Like you don't get that in college baseball. Like you play on the weekends and you might play one or two in the midweek, but like it's not that consistent pretty much every single day with one off day a week. Something that he was really trying to dial in was like the mental side, just kind of like the grind. Cause like, to your point, like, yeah, you go 0-for-4, if you dwell on that, then that's going to snowball into the next day, into the next day. And before you know, like you haven't had a hit in a week and you still got to go out there and you got to play the next day. And the big league game's 162 after a full spring training of playing pretty much every day. And then, you know, if, your team accomplishes what they need to accomplish in the regular season, then it snowballs right into to more baseball. And before you know it, like, put 190, 200 games at the big league level in a calendar year. And it's like the Cape's kind of like microdosing it, right? So, like, you know, you play 38 games, it's like 40-ish somewhere in there if you're there for the whole summer. And, like, yeah, it's a grind. It's every single day. And honestly, I think it's one of the most important things for a college player is to go play in college summer baseball where you can get that experience, and you don't have to do it for 162, but you can get what it feels like over the course of 40 games in the summer and start to kind of like prepare yourself for what ultimately, like, a lot of the top players, especially the guys on the Cape, like, get into minor league baseball and it's like, all right, now it's a grind. So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad that you know, it's something that you kind of adjusted to mentally, was that, like, yeah, it is okay to go for four. There's guys who do it every night in big leagues, and like the next day they got to go out there and they're back in the lineup. And it's like, if you're not contributing to the team, then eventually you're not in the lineup anymore.
Yeah.
It is a very like individual, you have to lock yourself in type sport. And I think a lot of people who don't play it probably don't maybe realize that as much. They just kind of turn it on and they see baseball. So,
yeah.
Appreciate you sharing that with us.
No, of course. Another thing, like, most of the time it's really not the swing. Like, it'll just happen, and you start to think it's the swing, and you just start tweaking things, and like, that's when, like you said, go into the snowball effect, and just get worse and worse and worse. So, like, that's one thing I learned, not to do that. Like, I learned that it wasn't the swing. It was just one of those days. And yeah, it was always the next game. That was the beauty about it. There was another game the next day. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I would say that you did a pretty good job in terms of applying that mindset. You hit 288 for the summer. You obviously tore it up during the playoffs. There was a certain degree of consistency to your game over the course of the entire Cape summer that really stood out. So applaud you for that. And, obviously wish you nothing but the best. You know, this upcoming spring at St. John's, hopefully you kill it and you get your opportunity next July when the draft comes around. But appreciate your time today, and it was great chatting with you. I appreciated all the all that New York banter, and thanks for sharing the background on your middle name, because again, 80 grade name, probably the best name that I've come across in a long time in baseball.
Hopefully you hear that name every day. Hopefully it's a household name. So, yeah.
That's it. You got to go with like the Trent Grisham or the John Carlos Stanton, where like you get to the big leagues and you change your name to Corleone LaGrande.
That would be sick. No, you just put a thought into my head. I got to think about that now. No, that'll be insane.
Yeah, you know Mike Stanton got up there and he was like, oh, I can't be Mike Stanton. John Carlos. Yeah.
Sounds better. Sounds better.
Yeah.
He's totally right. He's totally right.
Hey, that's how you become a household name.
Literally.
So anyway, John, appreciate the time, and look forward to following your progress and seeing what you do this spring.
Sir, appreciate it, Matt. Thank you for having me again.
All right, you're welcome. Take care.
Yep. Thanks. You too.
That was John LaGrande. He got all the accolades this summer. All-star, Cape League champion, playoffs MVP. Next time you see him, he might be Corleone LaGrande. I planted the seed in his head. He seemed to like the idea. Maybe he'll warm up to the idea. But anyway, it's been another episode of the podcast. Thanks for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed that conversation. I mean, that guy's Cape Cod baseball through and through. He went wire to wire beginning of the season all the way to the end. Hearing his story was awesome. Going from one JUCO offer to
a number of different offers after, you know, doing what he needed to do at Wabash Valley, ending up at St. John's, and then, you know, hitting 288 on the Cape this summer, winning the Cape League Championship. I mean, it's, he's on the right trajectory, and really excited to see kind of where things go for him, you know, this spring. So it's been another episode of the podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Matt Pajak, and we'll see you next time.